At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. At one time you knew only sin, only fear, only distrust of the one true God, but now, by grace, by the blood of Jesus, you know that God is love. So therefore walk as a child of that love, walk as children of light. In all that you do, whatever your decision might be, you are free to pursue that which is good and right and true. You're listening to Oratio, your morning hour of prayer, meditation, and growth here on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and we definitely have a challenging text coming up on Sharper Iron at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, wrestling with some of Paul's opinion, I think. He says it's not a word from the Lord. It's the only place in Scripture I've ever seen that said. What does it mean? What's he getting at? And don't miss the fact that you are still absolutely free in Christ, not to sin, but to pursue that which is good. Before we get there, though, we got Psalm 33, verses 13 through 21. A bit of a wisdom psalm here, or at least a piece of wisdom from the psalm, because it's a bit longer than the section we had before us. But like unto the Proverbs, the wisdom always seeking to put us in our proper place. And this isn't some sort of insult. It's about learning what is real and what is true. So that what we need to see this morning is how far above us God is, not to, you know, condescend to us, but how much greater he is than us, and how all of our strivings, all of our attempts to make things be the way we want them to be really can't change anything unless he has already decided to it that it shall be so. Now, and certainly, you have vocation. God has given you your hands, right? If your back patio porch breaks and you can fix it. Not a problem. The issue is when we start putting our trust into what we do with our hands. And this is what the psalm is getting at, that this is a folly on our part. It's foolishness. The Lord, he looks down, he sees all of us, he's enthroned, he can take in all the inhabitants of the earth in a moment. You know, we can't even imagine what that is. He fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds, right? So he's literally made us. Everything good that we do, he has set that in place for us as well. Only the evil that we do is of our own. And then, well, what does this mean? It means that because he sets all things in their place, a king might have a great army, but it won't be the army that saves him. A warrior might have great strength, but it won't be the strength that saves him. A warhorse might be fast, but it cannot outrun God's decisions. It might be great, but it cannot ultimately rescue unless God sends it. Jonah is rescued by a great fish, but that great fish is appointed by the Lord. And so what is your hope then? Well, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. To acknowledge this is true is to be under his mercy. To hope in his keseth, his steadfast love, that he would deliver you from death and keep you alive in famine, both delivering you from, you know, the death of eternal death, the second death, which is the hell of fire, but also in the present, to give you your daily bread, to watch out for your true needs, for he knows that you have them. So why do you toil and labor so hard trying to keep one hair on your head from turning gray, when ultimately it can't be done? When instead you could walk easy underneath the grace of God. Now, the answer to that, why you can't, is because you still got the sinner living within you who has no end to doubts and worries and anxieties, which is to say idols. Even so, the boast of Christianity is the freedom to say that I might know my sin, it might ever be before me, but my heart is glad in Christ, and I will trust in his holy name. The proverb, which comes before us this morning, which I believe was the one that we had to skip over last Friday, is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 28. No, that's incorrect. Forgive me. It is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker. but he who is generous to the needy honors him. This is kind of in the same direction, and certainly where Paul's going to go a little bit later, about what is good and what is right and what is true. And the idea that one of the things that is good is what God has made all of us into, namely humans, and that this design of God in making us man and woman is a giving of goodness itself. By being God's creation, there is an inherent goodness, and especially by being given the image of God in creation, being set as stewards and caretakers of the world, being the representatives or the masks of God to the world, there is a value in every human being that is, well, it's higher than the value of a flea. It's higher than the value of a daffodil. It's higher than the value of an ape. It is the value of the human, of man. And so one who would oppress a man, who would seek to, in his poverty or in his trial, in a moment of weakness, whenever he's down, to kick him, is to reject this truth that God has made him, that he is God's servant, not yours. Even though he serves you, even though you hire him, he is God's servant, not yours. Even though he be an unbeliever, he is still God's servant, not yours. So to be generous to the needy is to honor God, to see that those who belong to him are those whom you are given to love. And then that giving of love is something which is the highest good that we have. To walk as children of light in all that is good and right and true is to love your neighbor as yourself, knowing that God has loved you far better than you could love yourself, for your self-love has brought you into animosity and hatred and death. He has loved you in such a way to bring you into mercy, endless mercy, constant care, a father over his child and then some, a husband to his bride and beyond, to restore you from that animosity and bring you into eternal joy. Sharper iron, right around the corner. We'll be back.